your first time either in person or online, we're just so grateful and joyful that you have come to be with us today. We hope that this day would give you a refreshment and that you would go home feeling more full of God than you came in this morning. So every week we've been doing this Christmas countdown, right? Christmas is now 13 days away, less than 2 weeks from today. I already had my first Christmas party with a gift exchange with some of my girlfriends last Friday night. But I tell you, when I was a kid, you never saw Christmas, literally never saw Christmas in the store until after Thanksgiving. Right? Okay, good. I'm glad I'm not alone. Like, we'd buy our tree sometime around now, maybe around the 15th, put it, let it sit for a day, then put it up, decorate it, etc. But I had friends who, especially German friends, right? They would go out on, because I had friends who were like from Germany, they would go out on Christmas Eve and buy their tree. And then they'd put real candles and light it with a bucket of water under it, no joke. And but the thing is that all of December, especially for those of us who were raised in liturgical churches, Advent was a real thing. It was this longing, right? This waiting for the arrival of the big day. The anticipation was half of the joy. It was like your parents were pregnant and you knew the baby was coming. You know, you also knew that there were hidden presents in their closet and waiting for them to get under the tree. There was a lot of anticipation leading up to Christmas. But for the past 2 years, it feels to me like everybody's kind of pushing that Christmas button the day after Halloween. We had Christmas decorations up in our neighborhood the day after Halloween, and I can't swear by this, but I'm pretty sure a couple houses actually had them up before Halloween. The waiting for the arrival of Christmas is just too long after all the suffering we have been enduring through the past 16, 18, 19 months. It's just too long. We want the sparkle, you know, of Christmas. We want that energy of what Christmas brings. I mean, who doesn't want what Advent promises? Hope, peace, joy, and love. Everybody wants it. That's why you see signs all over the place, right? You go shopping. These four words are everywhere you look. You go online, you're streaming, you're watching television, however you get your media and entertainment, you see these words before you all the time. And don't get me wrong, I love Christmas media. I love Christmas movies. Just Friday night, we were renewed in our hope for the Christmas spirit as the giant elf came down from the North Pole to remind us all of the innocence of faith and hope. Peace can be gained from an unlikely romance in a quaint New England village. Insert your favorite Hallmark or Hollywood movie title here. There's joy when a hopeless, suicidal man realizes that he's lived a life worth living and God and his community genuinely care about him. And there's love in these movies when a stingy old man wakes up from the most terrifying night of his life to realize there's still time to love his fellow man. All of these stories we treasure bring the average American into a fantasy where things are better than their normal everyday life. And they can help us for an hour or two. They can shift our mood. And as fun as they are, and as much as they help me get my tree up, trim my house, decorate everything, bake the cookies, and get me into a holiday mood, when these movies are over, I often find myself wishing for something more substantive, something more, some way to re-engage with what Christmas is all about. Now, Advent songs can help. What the worship team brought to us today, really wonderful songs, like Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. These are songs of longing that help us to hope for what we know is promised. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom all the captives, wherever we're captive, that mourn in lonely exile until the Son of God appears. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to you. This is the real joy of Christmas. Waiting for the Son of God to appear on the earth. Waiting for the Son of God to appear in and for us. in some new, deeper way. Advent's given to us by the ancient church leaders to help us genuinely prepare our hearts to relive once again the beauty, the power, and the joy of the Holy Spirit, of the miracle of God, the miracle that God gave to humanity in the coming of Jesus. A virgin conceives by the power of the Holy Spirit, who, despite public shaming, travels to her husband's homeland to give birth in humiliating, austere conditions. Jesus, the baby who broke into a planet that's shrouded in death and darkness. Jesus, the boy we see growing in wisdom, displaying to God to the wise and educated leaders. Jesus, the man who brings hope, peace, joy, love, and power of the kingdom of God through his words, his life, his death, and his resurrection from the dead, paying the debt for every one of our sins, for everything we have done to separate ourselves from God. Jesus, the one who ushered in the Holy Spirit so that we could know God and be known by him now in this life until we see him face to face. Emmanuel, God with us. These are tidings of comfort and joy. Could you bring that slide up, please? Title slide. Let's pray. Week 3 in Advent celebrates joy coming to the earth. So, Lord, we just bow ourselves before you. We can't manufacture joy, God. But we can look to you, the source of it. And I pray that you would bring our eyes, our ears, our bodies, our minds, and our hearts before you in a way that changes us today. Come and have your way today, your Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's take a look a little bit of what joy is. Joy is so much more than happiness. And if you look closely, you might realize that joy always comes through connection. Children have so many ways to bring us joy, right? Zach and Laura are here with their new little baby girl. And a child's first touch. Can you go back, please, to the joy slide? A child's first touch, a child's first step, their first words, and relationships in community can bring us joy, as Michelle so beautifully showed us this morning, the support, the care, the fun we can have in community, and serving can bring us joy. You can go on now. Yesterday, I had the best time with these little girls. I had 5 sixth graders in my home cooking 3 large containers of pasta and making about 10 handmade lunch bags for, you can go to the next slide, for the Norristown Power and Love Outreach. We had the best time. And truly, by spending time with these girls, I experienced joy for the first time in a long time just by being with them and serving. You can go on. For many people, joy has been hard to access this year. Right? Last year, for the past however many months, joy is something that can elude us when we break our connections with God and with other people. And of all the Advent themes, joy in particular has been eluding me. I would say for the past 3 or 4 months, and especially as the big holiday has gotten closer. And I know I'm not the only one. I mean, even Elvis sang of a blue Christmas. I have a friend who is a music minister at another church, and every year they have a blue Christmas service for people who suffer during this holiday season. I think that's really sensitive. The National Alliance on Mental Illness, NAMI, N-A-M-I, says, even pre-pandemic, people often feel compelled to experience the perfect joyful Christmas, even when life is full of pain, stressors, unexpected or relived trauma, as we just heard from Michelle, or loneliness. Their medical director, Ken Duckworth, wrote, "For many people, the holiday season is not always the most wonderful time of the year. For individuals and families coping with mental health challenges, physical health challenges, a holiday season can be a lonely or stressful time filled with anxiety and or depression. And to be honest with you, this has been what my last few months have been like. Some of you know it. Joy has been the farthest thing from my experience. Stress and anxiety have been pushing joy aside. I've had some health issues I didn't understand, some serious fatigue, crazy insomnia. And for those of you who've had babies, you know what that's like. I've never had a baby, so the insomnia is always shocking to me. Body aches and new pains, which I'm learning, is a part of the joy of aging. My 91-year-old mom was unexpectedly hospitalized. Kind of every time that happens, you wonder, is this the one? You know, there's this bracing that happens. Some relational problems that were really stressors and traumatic really began to eat away at the inside of me. And I know, as a Christian, the Apostle James teaches us to count it all joy when we go through trials of many kinds, because we know that it's going to eventually give us stability, character, inner strength. And there have been plenty of times when I've been able to access joy under stress. I know this is a sign of spiritual maturity, and I want to be mature. But when we can't access it, especially when we know we should, and we know the ways, it can make us feel worse. And then everybody asks you, well, why? Why can't you sleep? What are you anxious about? And I'm like, if I knew, I'd fix it. But I didn't know how. I mean, I started to think that maybe something was seriously wrong with me. Some of my friends had started to have heart problems in their 60s. I turned 60 this year, and it's like this big wall I've walked through. I'm now in my 60s. And I started wondering, is there something wrong with my heart or with my nervous system or what the heck is going on? And of course, I prayed like crazy. I did everything I know to do. I rested as much as I could. I went to doctors. I got prayer from my small group. I got deep inner healing prayer from a dear friend on our prayer team. I canceled appointments, events. I just laid on the sofa and watched movies. All this helped a little bit, and I'd be good for a day or two, and then bam, I wouldn't sleep, and it would start all over again. I found myself isolating. I was really kind of embarrassed, kind of ashamed. I am mature. I should know better. And all along, I knew I was scheduled to preach on joy. Now, this is what I know about God, truly. God does not waste our pain. And I knew that he was going to give me something to teach today. And I was hopeful I'd be slightly on the other side of it by the time I had to come and preach to you. Because when we run out of the answers we know and we surrender, God takes us deeper. And there is never an end to how deeply he can take us. So I was watching and waiting for new ways to know Emmanuel in a deeper, more significant way. Because what I know just wasn't enough for this season of my life. And I guess that's what James was trying to tell us all along, right? To count it all joy, because the testing of our faith brings us steadfastness when we come out the other side. That's worth exploring for the sake of the joy promised. He always has more as we surrender to him, particularly in times of struggle and darkness. O come, Emmanuel is one of my favorite Christmas songs. And I'll tell you why. Because it deals with the reality of the state we're in, right? It says that he's coming to us no matter what state we find ourselves in. I love especially the second verse. O come, thou dayspring from on high. And cheer us. How? By thy drawing nigh, which means near, in case you don't know. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night and death's dark shadows put to flight, because you can. We might not know the way, but he does. Rejoice. Emmanuel shall come to you. This is what he brings, the power in his presence to disperse the gloom and shadows of our lives, even for seasoned followers of Jesus. We need to find our way into his light when the dark shadows and gloomy clouds get to be more than we can handle. Joy is found in God's presence. And this is where God met me last Sunday evening in my pain and exhaustion. I spent some time praying with Jess after the service, which I was too sick to even come to. And I was strolling through my Facebook feed, and I ran across a post from our friend Phil Urena, who was advertising a conference which was just finishing about the moment that I read this post. But the advertisement said this: do you or someone you love suffer from anxiety, depression, sleeplessness, trauma, or PTSD? We've all been affected in some way during the pandemic in the last 19-plus months, and many have experienced and are living with the effects of it and don't even know it. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read a truth from God or I hear a word from the front that is really for me, my eyes fill up with tears and my heart rate starts to increase, and that's what happened on my sofa. I had never even considered the possibility that I was suffering from something like this. I know that trauma and anxiety can cause physical symptoms. I know that I am very sensitive to stress, particularly around the world. Like when I read, there are times where I watch the news, I'm like, nope, can't even watch this because of what it does to me. It wrecks me. And I know that grief and loneliness and fear can be seasonal, but I know Jesus. I know the giver of life, the source of joy, and I have lived his healing. But I also know that healing, as we say in the Vineyard, is not once and done. Because life keeps giving us stuff to get healed from. Reasons to come running to God and saying, I just don't know you well enough. What I know is not enough. And as I read that post, everything in me was saying, this is what's going on inside of you, Teresa. And God cared enough about me to show me that little post. I very rarely go on Facebook. For the first time in months, I felt a sense of relief. I hadn't understood my symptoms, but God did. He saw me, he heard my sufferings, saw how big they were for me, and offered me his care. And for the first time in months, I felt some hope, some peace, and I knew, because I know him, that I would find my way back to the joy of my salvation through his tender love. It's interesting, at the same time, I've been working my way through a workbook entitled Joyful Journey, Listening to Emmanuel. This book is associated with the book Rich has been alluding to for the past 2 weeks, Renovated. Both books are authored in part by Dr. Jim Wilder, psychologist, and others, including our dear friend Dallas Willard, the king of spiritual disciplines. Renovated teaches about brain chemistry and spiritual formation. Both of these books share brain research by psychiatrist Dr. Carl Lehman and psychologist Dr. Jim Wilder. This brain research proves that attaching to someone or something brings the quickest and most lasting transformation. That's why you need to watch who your children are friends with. Attaching to somebody can change somebody quicker than anything else. When that someone is God, emotional healing, spiritual formation is more readily and more significantly accessed, and they have proven this through brain research. Attachment is a function of the right side of our brain. It's more relational, more connected to our emotions and our memories than any other kind of spiritual discipline work. When we attach to God, our emotional healing and spiritual growth is exponentially accelerated. Joyful Journey is a layman's manual to apply the principles that are found and explained in Renovated. Recognizing that I was in serious need of more from God to combat the trauma in my mind, emotions, and body, I jumped into this book, Joyful Journey, with eager expectation to know Emmanuel in a new way. They call this the Emmanuel approach. Doctors Lehman and Wilder teach that we have relational circuits on the right side of our brains in our thalamus and our basal ganglion. I think I said that right. Any brain scientists? Basal ganglia. Thank you. They're all like, no, you did not. Basal ganglia. We need to get these relational circuits turned on with God and with others to experience the reality of attaching. Attaching to God brings to us everything he has for us. And in time, the fruit of that attachment brings his life into ours. This is what the fruit of the Holy Spirit is, the character of God. We become like him. And his joy, along with all the other aspects of his character, can be transferred into us. This is what transformation is. The pain and trauma I've been experiencing caused me to turn off my relational circuitry with God and with other people. Now, please don't misunderstand. I was still doing my normal spiritual disciplines. I was still reading my Bible, praying, fasting, etc. But see, these things work in the left side of the brain. They are non-relational. I wasn't attaching. I wasn't really engaging God in the depths of my pain. I actually think I was embarrassed to come to God with what seemed like something I ought to be mature enough to handle. But I needed my daddy to love on me. I needed to become dependent on him again in a deeper way. We've been doing this verse in our sermon series in Advent, Romans 15, 13. You can go to the next slide. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit as we trust in him. You know, pain can make it harder to trust. Dr. Jim Wilder writes in Joyful Journey, our awareness of Emmanuel, that God is with us and desires to interact with us in all situations, is often dimmed when we experience life's difficulties and become overwhelmed. We can become overwhelmed as the intensity of unpleasant emotions increase. The big six unpleasant emotions hardwired into the brain are sadness, anger, fear, shame, hopeless despair, and disgust. And I had become very familiar with all of them. I also know, how do we build our relational trust in God in order to access his joy when we're in pain or under the power of stress or trauma? I needed to know this. And here's the one thing I want you to take from this if you don't remember any of this brain science stuff. God is the source of our joy. And by attaching to him, joy can come back into our lives. How do I know this? Because the Bible tells me so. Psalm 16, 11, yay, says, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Now that I've realized that my pain was dimming my experience of God's presence, helped me to understand and gave me hope to look for joy again in God, because I know that he is the source of joy and that he saw and understood my pain. See, joy isn't something we can resource on our own. Joy is relational. The look on Nick Denton's face when Aaron came walking down that aisle, that was joy. That is relational. I got it back in. Our relational circuits have to be on to give and receive joy. And painful emotions and bodies can shut down this access. Without God's presence, we can't find joy. Now, if we're going to function as our brain is wired to function, we need to learn how to get and keep our relational circuits turned on with God, despite how we're feeling. To attach to God and receive joy and all the other fruit he has to give to us. It's not a matter of our will or even our desire to attach or our spiritual disciplines alone. Do you know Lehman and Wilder teaches us that 8 out of the 10 commandments can be obeyed without turning on our relational circuits? I cannot murder. I cannot covet. I cannot steal. But the big two, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love others as we love ourselves, have to be relational in the right side of the brain. As Paul said to the Romans, may the God of hope, there it is, fill you with all joy and peace. How? As we trust in him. As we trust in him. Because the actual source of joy is God himself. Now, today, as I finish up here, I'm actually going to be teaching you one of the techniques that I have been learning, okay? But before we do that, I want to just take a look at what joy is and what joy isn't. And I found a really nice article on Compassion International that did a nice explanation of this. Joy isn't happiness. It isn't happiness, no matter what some of the dictionaries try to tell us. Too often in evangelical Christianity, people don't know what to do with pain, trauma, anger, all sorts of those emotions, negative emotions we call them. The expectation is we should always be happy because we know Jesus. Jesus was also, however, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and he's not afraid to carry ours. But Jesus was always attached to his Father. It's deeper than happiness. Joy doesn't need a smile in order to exist. Joy can share space with other emotions, sadness, fear, anger, even unhappiness. Happiness can't. Joy undergirds our spirits and brings to life peace and contentment even in the face of unhappiness. We see this in Jesus all the time. Joy blooms through connection, they say. It's what God wants for us. It's the truest expression. In its truest expression, joy transforms difficult times into blessings and turns heartache into gratitude, as we learned from Michelle this morning. Joy brings meaning to life. It brings life to life. Let me tell you one more thing. Suffering and grief are not the enemies of joy, but I'll tell you what is. Self-pity. Self-pity takes our eyes off the giver of joy and puts it on ourselves. And although pain and suffering can coexist with joy, self-pity cannot. Ask me how I know. See, we cannot be the source of our own joy. Christmas lights and movies and cookies are not the true source of joy. Real joy comes by attaching to the joy giver. Only Jesus can give us what we really need in our deepest times of struggle and suffering. It's true. Only he knows us that well. And only he has the power to do something about what we're going through. So if joy comes through connection, how do we get those relational circuits up and firing again when we have caused them to shut down? So I'm going to share with you what I've learned in the Emmanuel approach found in those books I mentioned. Through these exercises, joy began to seep back into my heart, along with hope and peace. My suffering has not changed very much. I'm still exhausted. I am still working through some of these things, but I feel different. And I'm excited because I know I'm on a path with him. See, these exercises help me experience what Rich has been alluding to, mutual mind with God. He's been speaking about it for the past couple weeks, if you can recall this. The first exercise is called interactive gratitude. This is the entry-level exercise. And if you are willing to do this with me today, we're going to do it here in about 3 minutes. I'm giving you a heads up. The second exercise in the joyful journey is called thought rhyming. Now, this one is much more in-depth, way too in-depth to do here today. It took me about an hour and a half to 2 hours to really, well, I needed it deeply. And this is the one that really helped me overcome the trauma that I was experiencing the most. Interactive gratitude has become a daily practice for me, and it's really bringing me some joy. This other one is a deeper immersion. And if you want to know about it, come and see me after the service or buy that book. I've got it here if you want to look through it. But in it, in the second one, in this thought rhyming with God, he shows us how clearly he sees us, how clearly he hears us. understands how big our struggles are for us and offers us his care to do something about us, about them. Today, we are going to practice the interactive gratitude I mentioned to you. Here is the key to practicing interactive gratitude. Wilder says, we live in an age where we can be wired or plugged in to the world 24/7. To utilize the resources of the internet and all of the virtual world, we all know we need to log in with first, username, second, password, right? We need the password. In a similar way, there's an unseen yet powerful spiritual world where we can connect to God, talk and relate with him, and become immersed in his divine nature. And the password into this experience, the awareness of the presence of God, is gratitude. All caps. Wilder says, feeling gratitude returns our minds to relationship with God in the presence of the unpleasant feelings and forms of suffering we're experiencing. Reconnecting to God is the source of joy, and joy begins with gratitude. It's kind of surprising. Now, the healing power of expressed gratitude, saying it out loud if possible, is verified in scripture and in mental health science research. Scripture very clearly tells us in Psalm 100, verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Now think about that. What does enter his gates mean? It means come close to God. How? By being thankful out loud. Thanksgiving is not, what did you say this morning? Sometimes we just got to make some noise, right? Those people would proclaim their thanks as they entered the gate and they drew near to God. But the National Alliance of Mental Illness also says that gratitude has been shown to improve mental health. They make a recommendation that if you're suffering with mental health at this time of the year, a list of gratitude could really buoy up your mental health. And expressing that gratitude to the people to whom you are grateful could really change your life. Now, there's a chemical reason this is all true. The brain circuitry research says that gratitude actually triggers our thalamus and our basal ganglion. Did I say it right? Excellent. Someone's like, I don't know. So when we practice expressed gratitude, we fire up these electrical circuits in our brains. And practicing gratitude gives us access to God and his joy, even in the midst of suffering. Because God himself is the source of joy. Psalm 35:5, sorry, I typed that wrong, says, all those who look to God are radiant with joy, and their faces will never be ashamed. Okay, I'm going to teach you how to do this now. You getting ready? I've given you the warm-up. So if you don't really want to do this, that's fine. No one's going to force you. But I just want to leave you with this thought before we do this. This may be a new way to learn how to trust in God, to let God rewire your brains a little bit, our brains. Interacting with God brings us joy. As Brother Lawrence said in the 17th century, there is not in the world a kind of life more sweetful and delightful, sounds like joy to me, than that of a continual conversation with God. Those only can comprehend it who practice it and experience it. So I'm going to teach you how to listen differently to God today. And I just want to give you a couple sort of parameters, because most people, when they are being invited to listen to God interactively, the first thoughts that come up in our minds is, well, what if I don't hear anything? Or how can you know what you're hearing is from God? This could be a heresy. Well, there's a few ways, and they explain this also in this book. See, the reality is that God does want to speak to us, and God does speak to us. And sharing our mutual mind with God is telling him, you take my mind and I'll take some of yours. So what we end up hearing in these interactive exercises is actually a mix of our thoughts and God's thoughts. And that's normal. And you can expect that to be true. But our knowledge of the Bible, and this is where spiritual disciplines really come in, our knowledge of God and our knowledge of the Bible can clarify if what we're hearing is actually from God, because we know his character and his voice. And sharing it in community is a really important way to confirm that something might be from God, because confirmation comes in community, as we learn through the study of spiritual disciplines. Learning to listen to God daily can give us a new normal in our brains. And literally, the brain research says it rewires our thinking. Our brains think differently when we practice this. Okay, on the white tables between your seats are handouts underneath the pens, strategically placed below a pen. So we're going to do it together right now. Here you go, guys. Anyone need one? I have extras here. No obligation. There will not be a quiz at the end. And there will be no grading. Yes, you need one? Just one? Two? Great. Anybody else need one? Yes, yes. Who said yes? I'm going to ask you to pass some of those around. Okay. Thank you, honey. Okay. Now, here's the most fascinating thing about this to me. We have to set a timer, because the brain research says it takes 2 minutes, 2 solid minutes of verbal thanksgiving. Now, I want you all to try something with me. Could you all just say this under your breath? I think she's a little bit crazy. All right, let's do it together. Ready? I think she's a little. Okay, now, can you hear how you all sort of mask each other's voices, right? Everybody say, I am so awesome. See, I don't know what you just said. Okay, so here's what I'm going to suggest to you. When I start the timer, I'm going to suggest to you that you practice this Thanksgiving out loud. Let's look through the sheet together. We need to stay thankful for at least 2 minutes for our brain chemicals to stabilize, for our relational circuits to turn on in our thalamus and our basal ganglion. Out loud is my best experience. Now, if you're not comfortable with that, I don't think God disqualifies you for doing it inside your mind. But if you feel like taking a risk, feel free. I'm going to say it out loud, but I'll turn my mic off. These are the things you can start to thank God for. Good gifts or times God has felt close to you. A thankful memory that he, ask him to give you a memory, to start with a memory of Thanksgiving, you know, something you're thankful for. I'll tell you what, when I set the timer for 2 minutes, in the beginning it was like interminable. Now, I just start thanking God, and like I look up at the clock, I don't even set a timer anymore, and like 7 minutes has gone by. And I had no idea it had passed, because it's fun to give thanks to God. Now, after we do this, after we do 2 minutes of this, we're going to sound like a cloister, you know, everybody just kind of praying quietly together. After 2 minutes of this, I will say we're going to move into the next step, which is asking God quietly, silently, what do you want me to know about the love attachments with you and others? What have you to say about what I've just offered in Thanksgiving? Now, no one's going to read this, but if you take this time of silence and just listen, you might be surprised by what comes into your mind. Write down everything. Some of it will be your thoughts, some of it will be God's thoughts, but you will be starting to wire your brains differently to listen to God. This is experiencing mutual mind with him. Now, if you're by yourselves or if you want to kind of mumble quietly, reading it out loud helps you decide, like, what feels peaceful and true. What reflects his character as revealed in Scripture? Now, the third step to this exercise from the book is not going to be practiced publicly today unless you choose for it after the service. If you want to share your notes with somebody that you feel safe to share with, reading in a safe community helps you gain clarity about what God might be trying to say to you. It also connects you not only with God, but with someone else. And so we honor those two great commandments. Okay? All right. You ready? Okay. Lord, I ask that you bless this time, that everyone who takes a risk to do this would be blessed by it. At home, I hope you've been taking notes. I meant to put up a slide and I forgot. But send me an email and I will send you this worksheet. Teresa@ConshaHawkinVineyard.com. So let us get quiet for a moment and then we're going to start our mumbling. Are you ready? All right. Come, Holy Spirit. You may begin. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. At this time, you can begin to listen. Ask God the questions on your sheet. What do you want me to know about love attachments with you and others? What do you have to say about what I've offered to you in Thanksgiving? And just write down anything that comes to your mind. I'll give you another minute or so. And if you so desire and you want to share your notes with somebody after the service, you are more than welcome to. So this interactive gratitude is an entry-level mutual mind exercise. Would you raise your hand if you had a positive experience? Oh, that's so encouraging. Thank you, Lord. It's the practice of Emmanuel, God with us. You can come on up, Ben. The giver of joy and peace, the God of hope, love personified. And I'm convinced that joy comes from knowing we are seen, heard, supported, and guided by love. This has been true for me, and I know it will be true for you because it's a God truth. I'm convinced. Knowing we are seen and loved and looking to the Lord can make us radiant with joy, even while we're still struggling, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. This is the essence of Emmanuel. Once you stand, we're going to worship together.